السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيبي إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. قال الله في كتابه الحكيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله، واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. For the soul of the late Ayatollah Mohsini, who was truly one of the most influential scholars of Ahlul Bayt, of the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt in Afghanistan, who had written dozens of books, had led the Shi'i community in Afghanistan through all of the trials and tribulations and challenges, who was truly a scholar by every measure of the word, who had passed away recently. In his remembrance, let us recite a Surah Al-Fatiha. Bismillah. Chapter 18 of the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf. This lecture is dedicated to a friend and a classmate. Passed away this week. I'll give you more information later, but he was 32 years old. So I had no idea what I was going to speak about, really. But the verse came to my mind, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعْلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. And do not say of anything, surely I will do it tomorrow. And this verse was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam Because the non-believers would come to the Prophet and they would ask him certain questions. And the answers were not readily available. So sometimes God would reveal an answer to the Prophet, and sometimes the revelation was delayed. And this was a test of faith for the Prophet. So one day the non-believers came to the Prophet and they asked him a question. And the Prophet said, "I'll have the answer," without saying insha'Allah. And the answer did not come. So the verse says, "Wala taqulanna li shay'in inni fa'ilun dhalika ghada illa an yasha'Allah." Never say that I will do something tomorrow without saying insha'Allah. Because it's the will of God. Everything in this world happens through the will of God. Everything. And sometimes we have a very selfish view. You know, the accepting the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you understand the history of that, the mashi'ah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran of His mashi'ah, His desire, His will, I'm sorry, and also His desire. And the first time that, if you study the history of theology, the first time that theologians tackled this issue was after Ashura, because they asked themselves, the community asked themselves, how could this happen? This is the grandson of the Prophet, this is the entire family of the Prophet. How could God allow something like this to happen? The question of theodicy, the question of evil, and how God allows evil to happen. So one of the scholars, he said that there's a difference between the will of God and the desire of God. So everything happens with the will of God. Everything. There's nothing in this world that happens without the will of God. But God does not desire for everything to happen. Allah talks about His desire, what He loves to see. And there are things that Allah does not love to see happen. That's why Allah says, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu." Allah loves, for instance, "At-tawabin wa yuhibbul mutatahhirin." And then Allah also says, you heard the verses in Surah Luqman, "Inna Allaha la yuhibbu." There are things that God does not love, does not desire. But even if He doesn't desire it, even if it's not pleasant, it's still part of His will. So this verse was revealed to address some of those concepts. If you read verse 23 on its own, there's a lot of meaning in it. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. Don't put things off. In other words, do not procrastinate with things that are important in your life. If you read about procrastination, there's decades of psychology dedicated to understanding why people procrastinate. And the definition of procrastination is to unnecessarily postpone a decision or action. Sometimes there's a decision or action that you postpone it because it's a necessity. So for instance, you know, buying a new home when you can't afford to, or buying a new car when you can't afford to. You're postponing it, you're delaying it, but this is not procrastination. Procrastination is when something is necessary, meaning that it is urgent, meaning that it is important, meaning that it lines up with your values, meaning that it lines up with what you believe to be true, and you delay that thing. You put it off. And sometimes when we look at procrastination, you know, you think of your kids, teenagers, you know, they procrastinate with their homework, or you think of yourself when you procrastinate with an assignment. And there's decades of psychology that's dedicated to figuring out why people procrastinate. Sometimes we think that, you know, it's just because this person is lazy or unmotivated. And what psychologists tell us is that may be what it seems on the outside, laziness or the lack of motivation. But in reality, there's something much deeper that's tied to it. Some of us suggest, Some psychologists suggest that procrastination is tied to anxiety and the fear of failure. See, in our bodies, if you've heard of the terms, if you're familiar with the terms acute and chronic. So, you know, some people, they have acute symptoms. Acute symptoms, they refer to what is apparent, what is outward. Chronic, however, when you talk about a chronic illness, it refers to the root cause. It refers to something which is internal. So sometimes people, for instance, after many years of neglecting their health and, you know, not exercising properly or not sleeping the amount that they should, or, you know, smoking or whatever behaviors they engage in, they start to develop chronic heart illness, chronic heart disease. They get, for instance, carotid arteries. And sometimes, if they're lucky, they can start to fix that to where the acute symptoms disappear. But just because the acute symptoms disappear, it doesn't mean the chronic symptoms have disappeared as well. So that's why some people, they fix their life. You know, they'll say they'll get a scare, a heart attack, and then they'll start to fix their life. They'll start to diet and exercise. They could still get a heart attack. The risk is lower. But if they develop chronic illness, even though the acute symptoms go away, because the underlying cause, the underlying factor is still there, they're still at risk for a heart attack. So when you look at certain human behaviors, such as procrastination, the acute symptom, we look at it as laziness, or unmotivated, or unorganized. But the chronic issue beneath that is anxiety and fear of failure. That's why if we just think about it as, oh, this person just needs to be motivated. That's why people, you know, they'll read a book or they'll watch a 5-minute YouTube video and they're motivated. Oh, I'm motivated to start working out. You know, motivation is great, but it's like taking a shower. You have to do it every day for it to be effective, if you know what I mean. If you take a shower once a month, it works for certain things. You can kill off the bugs and whatnot, but it doesn't work for people around you. It doesn't work for good purposes. So, and I was reading something recently, and along the same lines, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, I was talking about the book Self-Love by Robert Schiller, and he talks about guilt the same way. When we look at guilt, sometimes we feel guilty. He says the following. He says, guilt, it's a surface thing. There's something deeper when it comes to guilt. So guilt is the fear of exposure. The fear of exposure is really a fear of judgment. The fear of judgment is really a fear of rejection. Fear of rejection is actually a fear of humiliation. And the fear of humiliation is really fear of the loss of self-love. So one thing leads to another. And that's why we end up feeling guilty. So in order to cure that, you have to go to the root cause. So it's not just when it comes to procrastination, it's not just being lazy, it's not just being unmotivated, it's not just being unorganized. You can fix those things, but you'll still procrastinate. That's why some people, they'll say, okay, you know what? I got to get my desk organized. They're procrastinating, they're putting it off. They'll fix the entire desk, and then nothing happens. You still won't start on that assignment or that project. Because seldom does it have anything to do with organization. Now, I'm not saying be a disorganized person. But understanding, what I'm talking about here is understanding the root causes of things. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعْلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. Don't put things off completely. You know, one thing that we learn is that tomorrow is an illusion. There's no such thing as tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't happened yet. Some people, they live in a tomorrow that doesn't exist. They live in a past that will never come back, and they forget to live in the present time, which is the only time that you have. This is the only time that you have, right now. We tend to live so much in the future, and sometimes the future is not even guaranteed. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't plan for what you do next month, next year, and the year after. You live in the present, and you act and you behave in the present. There's a narration from the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He says, أخوف ما أخاف على أمتي خصلتان الطمع وطول الأمل. He says, there are two things that I'm most fearful of and most concerned for my people from. One is طمع, greed, always wanting more. And the other is طول الأمل, having high hopes. Always having high hopes in the future to where you forget about your present. Not having dreams and goals. You can have those things if it motivates you and if you're going to work towards it. You need that actually. But doing so in a manner that makes you forget about where you are right now so that you don't do anything about it right now. There's a narration that says that one day, maybe I've shared this before, but one day a man came to Harun al-Abbasi. Harun al-Abbasi, you're talking about 150 years after the Prophet. And this man had lived long enough that he had seen the Prophet, that he had accompanied the Prophet, that he had heard the Prophet speak. So he comes into the presence of the Khalifa, and the Khalifa is very honored. He says, oh wow, you know, what an honor. Can you honor us with a hadith that you heard the Prophet speak? So he says, قال رسول الله, and he says that hadith, that exact same hadith. أخوف ما أخاف على أمتي خصلتان. So Harun is very, very impressed. He tosses him a bag of gold dinars or whatever, how much ever it was. He begins to walk away. The man begins to walk away and he starts to mumble. You know, he says something. So Harun says to the guards, to his cronies, whatever, he says, capture him, take him. What was he saying? Was he criticizing me? They bring him back. He says, were you criticizing me? He says, no, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I wasn't criticizing you. I was just thinking to myself in my mind that if I come back next year, he's already more than 150 years old. If I come back next year and I narrate another hadith to Amir al-Mu'mineen, will he give me the same amount or will he give me more or will he give me less? And he's two steps away from the grave. Not being thankful for what's already in his hands right now. So there's nothing wrong with planning. Actually, you have to have plans. People who don't have plans, they begin to drift left and right. And the shaitan's favorite people are people that don't have plans for their future. But not to a point where it distracts you or it debilitates you from your present moment, because the present moment is the only moment that you have. You know, there's a psychologist and he was talking about, he had written a book and he was talking about how, you know, really, we tend to really hype up the past and the future. You know, sometimes something happens, you know, say we injure ourselves or someone hurts us and we get over it. But then 10 years later, you get around a circle of people that convince you that what happened to you was 100 times worse than what it really was. I'm not talking about oppression and abuse and sexual abuse and things like that. No, that's very terrible. But there are certain things, if you think about it, whatever, you got over it, you forgot about it. But somebody else made it a very big deal. Or things in the future. You get excited about your sports team that's going to win. And once they win, you're like, oh, whatever, cool, awesome. What happened after that? Everybody forgets. So we tend to live so much in the past and the future, but we forget about what we have right now. And the reality is that tomorrow is an illusion. And it's not guaranteed to anyone. And death does not respect the person whether they're young or old. At all. When Malak al-Maut comes, that's it. We read the story of Sulaiman, commander of armies, of men and jinn. A man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we gave him the ability to bend iron. And he can control the clouds. And if he wanted to transport himself from one place to another, he can do so. And that he built a castle which was so grand that the Queen of Sheba, she came in and you know, she had to lift her dress to walk over because she thought she was walking over water when in reality she was walking over glass which had water going under it. Things that you see today when you look at the homes of millionaires and that sort of thing, happening thousands of years ago. And he's standing there watching his armies of men and jinn with a cane. And when Malak al-Maut came to him, the angel of death, he did not even have the ability to sit down.
Malak al-Maut did not even give him the 2 second notice to sit down. He had to die standing there. And it wasn't until the termite ate from the wooden stick that he finally came crashing down like a tree. And his men and jinn looked to each other and they said, had we known that he was dead, we wouldn't work these, you know, we wouldn't be working overtime. This is overtime that we're working right now. He died a few hours ago or a few moments ago. That's how much labor he had exerted over them. Not even one moment, not 1 second, no one. No one's the exception to the rule. So I shared this message one time about the difference between, you know, having a sense of urgency versus being hasty. The Quran describes man as being hasty, ajul. That we want things to happen right away. That when we turn to Allah, we want our answers to be given right away. When we start committing, you know, going to the gym, we want to see results right away. When you start a business, you want to become a multimillionaire overnight. You marry someone and you expect to be satisfied overnight. It doesn't happen that way. Nothing in this world happens. What planet does this happen? It doesn't happen like this at all. The Quran says that we're created and we're given this sense of ajal, being hasty. One hadith tells us the following. It says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, He created his mold. First He created his mold. And then He breathed into him spirit. And before he was completing the breath of spirit into him, Adam wanted to stand. Before the process of him having life was even complete. So our great-great-grandfather is to thank for that spirit of hastiness and wanting things to happen right away. So everything we want, you know, they say we live in a microwave culture. We want everything to happen right away. We live in an instant coffee culture. It has to happen right away. You know, one of the blessings in our life is our microwave stopped working last December. And I intentionally haven't replaced it because it's a great place to store bread now. And you have to reheat it either in the toaster oven or in the oven, or you cook it on the stove. It's much healthier for you, it's better. And it's also patience as well. You might walk away from it and forget you're hungry in the first place, so it has multiple purposes. But we want something, if it heats up for a minute and a half, it's too long. It has to do it in a minute or 45 seconds. And so food scientists and engineers have to come up with ways to heat things much quicker and spend a whole lot of money and research, do R&D about that stuff. Because we want something, we want everything right away. We can't wait anymore. It has to happen right now. Now, when we talk about urgency, urgency is having a great, great work ethic, but being patient with your results. So when it comes to your work ethic, say your spiritual life, you have a sense of urgency when it comes to fulfilling your prayers on time, when it comes to allocating the best of times to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with the response, have patience. And if you can apply this ethic and this understanding across every area of life. So one thing I want to share with you, and I'll end off on this note, is so how do you put this into practice? Well, when you look at your life, imagine 4 quadrants, thinking about what is urgent and important. There are things in your life that are urgent and they are important, such as, for instance, a health crisis or a family emergency. It's urgent and it's also important. Then there are things that are urgent, but they're not important, which is 90-95% of our distractions in life. You know, they say breaking news, and it's always breaking news. It's the same news, But it's breaking news, you know. I don't know. Khloe Kardashian finds her 15th baby daddy. Something like that. And it's always urgent. It's always urgent. It's breaking. It's in your face. But it's not important at all. Then there are things that are not urgent and not important at all. And then there are things that are important, but they're not urgent. So when it comes to prioritizing your time, sometimes there are things that are urgent that you can't get away from, like a family emergency. It's urgent and it's important. You have to ask yourself, whenever something pops up, is this important or is it not important? But the most effective thing to do with your life, and this is what the verse speaks to really, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا, means to place your time and invest your time in areas that are important but not urgent. Such as what? Your health. It doesn't do a whole lot of good for you to have terrible health habits for 60 years and then all of a sudden you have a crisis and then you say, you know what, from tomorrow I'm going to start taking care of my health. It may work temporarily, but again, acute versus chronic. Or when it comes to your finances, or when it comes to your relationships, or when it comes to spiritual life. If you think about it, most people in these areas, the reason they're falling behind is because they're looking at all of the things that are not important in their life. Have a sense of urgency when it comes to the things that are important that are not urgent. So that way, if you take care of your health, you don't have to worry about a health crisis as much. Of course, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I want to say this, my friends, is because we don't know how much time we have on this earth. Sometimes we know that there's a conversation that we have to have with someone, but we put it off because of fear of criticism, chronic symptoms, fear of criticism, fear of embarrassment, fear of rejection. How will this person look at me if I talk to them about how I truly feel? Spending time with people that we truly love, being mindful, being in the present moment, spending quality time with people. You know, your children will never ever forget the quality time that you spend with them, ever. They won't. So having a sense of not putting off things that are important in our life. We don't know how much time we have. In the case of this friend, I was really conflicted whether I should even bring it up in the first place, but he was, and I don't mean to be the bearer of negative news, but I feel a responsibility to now share. He was a classmate of mine. His name was Shahzad Khan. And he was a year older than me, 32 years old. He was married. He had two children, two daughters, one 4 years old and one less than a year old. And this past Saturday, he was with some friends and family up in Kern County near Bakersfield, near the Kern River. And there was a turnout, and they had parked their car, and he had placed his feet in the river and got swept away, and was missing. And today I received a text that they found his body in the morning. I was there with the search team yesterday in Bakersfield. We were searching for a number of hours with the entire family. And there was no sign at all. My friends, please be careful. When you're out with your family having fun, please be very, very careful. Nobody had expected this to happen. And it happened within a split second. And as I was driving back yesterday, I was thinking, what do I even talk about? I was very, very conflicted. And the message that I thought of was, please don't put off anything till tomorrow.
This could have been myself, it could have been a friend, it could have been anyone. So please remember him in your prayers. Please recite a Fatiha for him. Please pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings comfort to his family. I was with his family yesterday. Please pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings comfort to them. I don't have any other updates except for the fact that they found his body this morning. But inshallah, when I do, I will provide updates for those of you who would like to know. But please remember his family in your prayers. He was a very, very... he was a family man. He was very bright and intelligent, and he was a believer. He was a mu'min. And he was always smiling, which is the attribute of a believer. So please remember him in your dua, and please recite a surah Fatiha for him and for all of those who have passed away from your loved ones. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to all of those who are in need of dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين صدق الله العلي العظيم وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد.